Welcome, Facebook, to another installment in the Live at 5 Sunday night series. If you're just now finding this, my name is Justin Reed. I am the pulpit minister for the Wood Church of Christ there in Woodbury, Tennessee. Okay, good. I'm here. If I'm hearing myself on Facebook Live, then you're hearing me on Facebook Live as well. Let me share this very quickly to the Wood Church of Christ Facebook page. And if you have not liked that page, that's where we're posting the Sunday morning sermons. And then the Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night Bible studies are shared from my account to that page just because it makes my life easier, if we're being quite honest there. Live at 5. That'll work. It is posted. People can now see it. I have about a minute till the top of the hour, so we will go ahead and get started. I do hope you have your copy of God's Word there with you, because we will be, as you can see, we'll have the presentation here, which is to my left, which should be your right, unless somehow you're also there standing beside me and also be your left. But what we're going to do is put scripture references up there, and we'll run them, and we're going to learn tonight, in part of our Live at 5, and this will be the third one in this series here, on how heaven is like the Grand Canyon. Because we should all be wanting to go to heaven. And so we're going to use something that is very familiar to most people, whether you've been there or not. We're going to use that to illustrate our point. Grab your Bible. Let's begin with our lesson text for tonight's lesson. Would be John chapter 14 and the first three verses. John chapter 14, a very favorite passage of many, I'm sure. John 14 and verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friends, here in our lesson text, Christ is encouraging his disciples because he is getting ready to leave them. John 14, 15, 16, a great large chunk of text where Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. And then John 17 has that beautiful prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays three times the same prayer. He is praying so profusely, he's sweating blood. At the end of it, his disciples can't stay awake. At the end of it, in walks Judas to betray him. And then Jesus Christ is tried a total of six times unfairly, found guilty although he was innocent, and hung there on that cross and died. So Christ knows that he is getting ready to leave his disciples, and so he wants them to know that when he leaves, there's going to be a chance where they can be where he's going, because he's going to come and bring them back. And we know that he's going to come today and bring us back at some point, because he hasn't come. We know he's going to, but that's the only unfulfilled thing as of yet in the Bible, because if it were fulfilled, we wouldn't be here talking through the means of Facebook and wherever else you may be accessing this sermon tonight. So we know this place that Jesus Christ went to as heaven. This evening I want us to answer the question, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? And I just put you a picture up there on the screen. I hope you can see it well. If not, simply later pull up a tab on your computer, your phone, your tablet, and just Google Grand Canyon. This is one of the pictures up there. That's where I found it. But when I see things like this, it reminds me of a couple of things. One, that God knows what he's doing. Two, this world was not an accident. Three, there was a massive flood that would have caused beauty such as this. And four, God likes to make beautiful things. Because you can just look and, oh, that's just a beautiful picture. I've never been to the Grand Canyon, but I'd like to go one day. But I want us to use what we know about the Grand Canyon. And then I want us to answer the question, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Are you ready? If you're taking notes, it's in outline form up here, because that's how I do my notes up here on the screen. Ready? Number one, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Well, plain and simple, it's grand. Heaven is grand. Now, the Grand Canyon is big, spectacular, and beautiful, friends, and so is heaven. Heaven is big. Heaven is beautiful. Heaven is spectacular. Run with me there, that reference to Psalm number 11, please, in the Old Testament. Psalm number 11 and verse 4, because we learn from this passage, David tells us that heaven is where God dwells, or where God lives. Psalm 11 and 44, the Bible says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men." So David tells us that God is at home, where? In heaven. What else do we learn? Now we go to the end of the Bible. In Revelation 21, 18 through 27, we're just going to hit some high points of this. But we see that heaven is full of beauty. As you're turning there to Revelation 21, I want you to think the English language, or, well, for that matter, the Greek language in which Revelation was written in, is beautiful. But both languages fail in comparison. They fail. Why? Because they can't accurately describe how beautiful heaven is. Now, what John's going to do by inspiration of the Holy Spirit is try to describe heaven using some of the most beautiful things that we are familiar with, but heaven is far more beautiful than what he says. Look, verse 17, he answered, he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, second sapphire, third chalcedony, the fourth was an emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz. I mean, he's just going to go on and on and on. All these precious stones that you would see at a jeweler. I saw no temple, verse 22, therein, for the Lamb of God Almighty and the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun nor the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. All nations of them which are saved walk in the light of it. The gates of it are not shut all the day, and there is no night there. They shall bring glory and honor of the nations unto it. There shall no wise enter in anything that defileth, or works abomination, or a lie, but those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, heaven is full of beauty. And it's full of spectacular things as well. Go back to the beginning of that chapter. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain. All the former things are passed away." Friends, why is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Because first and foremost, it is grand. God is there. That alone is enough. We see it's full of beauty and full of spectacular things like no death, no sorrow, no crying. Number one, it is grand. Number two, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? There is no cheap way to get across. There is no cheap way to get across. They tell me that it's going to cost you just short of an arm and a leg if you want to get across, whether you go by a car, whether you're going to walk it, you want to ride a donkey across it, you want to go in a helicopter. They say there is no cheap way of doing it. Friends, there's no cheap way into heaven either. We can't try to go to a ticket scalper on the outskirts of heaven and say, "Hey, what's the best price you've got on getting in?" Friends, because that just does not exist. What was the price to get into heaven? Well, first and foremost, there, Acts 20:28, it cost the precious blood of Jesus the Christ. That's what it costs. We sing the song, "His blood paid the ransom for me," and oh, how true those words are. Go with me there to the Hebrew epistle, please. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by what? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh." Friends, how do we enter that new way? How do we enter heaven? Well, it cost a great price. It cost the blood of Jesus Christ that hung, was shed upon that cross for my sins, friends, and for yours also. We see that passage there in Ephesians 2 and verse 18, where Paul says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto what? Unto the Father." Where is the Father? We already learned that in Psalm 11:4. The Father is in heaven. And so by Jesus Christ, by the shedding of His blood, friends, we have access into heaven. But how is heaven? Like the Grand Canyon, there's no cheap way to get across the Grand Canyon. Friends, there is no cheap way to get to heaven. It cost the death of the only perfect man. My best friend, and hopefully yours, Jesus the Christ. Number three. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? And this point saddens me, friends. There are many people who just want to admire the view. There are too many people who just want to admire the view. Many people just go to the edge of the Grand Canyon every year. And they stand up against the guardrail and they look over. And they look to the left, and they look to the right, and they say, "All right, I've seen it. I have no desire to go in." Sadly, friends, many people are like that with heaven. Census polls will tell us over 90% of Americans believe in heaven. In fact, they like the idea of heaven. They admire the view, so to speak. They like to stand on the edge and look in, if you will. But friends, they don't live a life that will get them there. They don't live a life that will get them there. And if you don't live a life that gets you to heaven, then what's the point of living your life? So the question is, instead of just standing on the outskirts, standing at the guardrails and looking over, looking in, friends, how do we enter heaven? Well, Jesus Christ says, Matthew 7:21-22, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out many demons, done many wonderful works? And he'll say, Depart from me, I don't know you, you workers of iniquity." Jesus, how do you get in there? "He that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." What's the will of the Father? Matthew 17:5. "Hear ye him." Hear Jesus the Christ. We see we must be converted there in that passage in Matthew 18, verse 3. They brought the little children unto Christ. And Christ says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." Friends, we must be converted and we must be born again. We've looked at this passage in our Live at 5 series already. But in John 3:3-5, Nicodemus comes to Jesus Christ, the ruler of the Jews by night. And he says, "How may I inherit eternal life?" And Christ says, "Except ye be born of water and of the blood." And Nicodemus says, "How can I enter my mother's womb a second time?" He says, "That's not what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. You must be born again." Christ was talking about baptism. So we must do the will of the Father. We must be converted. Upon that conversion, friends, we must be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Friends, there are many people who just want to admire the view. Number four. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Well, the way to the other side is narrow, and there are few people that go there. The way to the other side of the Grand Canyon is very narrow, and few go there. How do you get to the other side of the Grand Canyon? You ask somebody that's gone, they'll tell you you can walk it if you want to. That's about an 8 to 10 mile trek. It's going to take you about 3 days because of the terrain, the exhaustion, stopping to rest, eat, etc. It's narrow. It's curvy. It's difficult. That's if you walk it. What if you say, "I don't want to walk it, I want to drive it"? I'm glad you asked. They say to drive it, it's about 200 miles because you can't take the same pass you walk or climb. They say it takes between 4 and 5 hours, and the roads are narrow. Friends, the roads are curvy, and the roads are difficult. So whether you walk or whether you drive to the Grand Canyon and you want to get from one side to the other, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very taxing, and your nerves might get shot before it's all said and done. Well, what about heaven? Friends, what is our way to heaven today? How do we get to heaven? Well, let's run that reference there, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I feel you might be familiar with this passage. Jesus Christ says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Why? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We see it's a narrow way. How do we get to heaven? It's a narrow way. It's not the path that everybody else takes. See what Christ says there in Luke 13, 22-23. "Then said one unto Jesus, Lord, are there few that will be saved? And Christ said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and they shall not be able." Friends, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? There's no easy way. It is a narrow, difficult, curvy path, friends. To live the life of a Christian in the world we live in today, it's not always the easiest, but I promise you this, it's rewarding. Because if you're found faithful in death, Revelation 2, verse 10 teaches us we will receive that crown of life. The way to the other side is narrow. Point number 5, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Friends, you've got to go to water. In order to cross from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other, there's a river that flows in the middle of it, and guess what you've got to come to? Friends, you have to come to that river. You've got to go down to the river. Guess what? To get to heaven, you've got to get to water as well. We've already talked about John 3:3-5, "Except a man be born of water," Jesus Christ says, Acts 22:16, "And now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized." Baptizo, immersed in what? In water, for the remission of thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Romans 6:3-4, "Know ye not so many of us as were baptized into his death." Galatians 3:27 as well. We need to be baptized. Colossians 2:11-13. 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure where baptism doth now also save us." Friends, you've got to contact water. But here's the kicker. If you're going to try to get from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other, and you go all the way down, you make it to the river that's in the middle, and you stop and you say, "Well, I've crossed the Grand Canyon," I'm going to have to pull you aside politely and say, "No, you've made it halfway." Friends, just because you reach the water doesn't mean you're finished. You must finish that journey. Look there in Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 1, where the Hebrew writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," who's that? He's referencing the people in chapter 11. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Why? So we can run with patience the race that is set before us. Friends, we have to lay aside those weights so we can persevere, so we can finish. When you reach water, when you're baptized, when we're talking about this spiritually, you have to keep going. Baptism is not the end all, friends. Baptism is when you begin. That's when you officially begin your walk there as a Christian. So, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? You have to go to the water to get across. Number 6, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Friends, if you hike the trail, you're going to need food and you're going to need drink or water. It's plain and simple. If you're going to hike it, if you're going to walk that journey, and I might argue if you're going to drive 200 miles in 4 or 5 hours, you're going to need something to drink and something to eat on as well. We see that nourishment is essential. Very few car trips have I made where I was in the car for 5 hours, I wasn't at least sipping on something. And maybe eating a granola bar or something, a pack of crackers at least. That's a long time. Imagine if you're walking a handful of days. Well, you're going to need food. Well, to finish our spiritual journey, friends, food and drink are essential for us as well. What am I talking about there? Go to that reference, Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, there in the Manifesto of the Kingdom, the Beatitudes, Jesus Christ says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Why, Jesus? "For they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Now, he talks about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That's desiring more spiritual food. I hope during this time of crisis, you're taking advantage of all the spiritual food that's around you. I almost might argue there's more spiritual food around you right now than there was when we weren't in a crisis. I don't know that to be certain. I love going to gospel meetings, singings, vacation Bible schools, seminars. I'm not saying this to brag on myself because I fall short in so many areas. But friends, I watched at least 4 worship services. I heard at least 4 parts of different gospel sermons before I started my sermon here this morning at 11. And there's more going on right now. And guess what? When this ends and after I change clothes, I'm probably going to watch some more. Why? Because I hunger and thirst after righteousness. And right now it's all around. Partake of that buffet of righteousness, if you will. Now make sure you're making sure that what the preacher says he's actually saying. But we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why, Christ? Because he says you will be filled. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. John 6 and verse 51. That's what we should hunger after. We also see Revelation 22:17 that we must have the water of life. Christ also says, I am living water. We need water. We need the bread of life. We sing a song often as an invitation song. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste. Friends, Jesus Christ is that fountain. We must have living water in our lives in order to make the spiritual journey. You have to eat the right things to get the right results. Must hunger and thirst after righteousness and you'll be filled. How is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Number 6, if you hike, you need food and drink. And then lastly, number 7, how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Friends, you've got to pass through the valley to get to the other side. You have to pass through the valley. You know, they tell me that the Grand Canyon's not really just one valley, but it's a series of ever-deepening valleys. And so to truly get across, you've got to keep going down before you can come up. Well, let's look at some of the valleys, if you will, that we're going to go through in life, because life is the same. Life is a series of ever-deepening valleys. First off, let's go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. We see there's a valley of trials that Peter describes we must go through. 1 Peter 1, there in verse number 7. Peter says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Peter? Peter says that we're going to go through a valley of trials. Some are going to seem easy. Some are going to seem difficult. But if we're hand in hand with Jesus, as we sing in so many different songs in our songbooks, we can make it through them. What's another valley, though? Friends, we face the valley of temptation. J-A-S is your biblical shorthand for James, also J-S, in case you wonder what that is. But James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father. I should be in verse 12, not 17. Scratch that. Verse 12, I knew that didn't seem right. James 1 and verse 12, there we go. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Friends, what does James say? It's almost like he has his own beatitude. Blessed what? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Why? For when he is tried, he received the crown of life which the Lord hath promised him. Promised to those that love him. Friends, we're going to be tempted. But just because we're tempted doesn't mean we have to give in to sin. Jesus Christ, the perfect one, was tempted. Hebrews tells us that. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we have a high priest who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Friends, Christ was hungry. Christ was thirsty. Christ was irritable. Christ had those people that knew how to push his buttons and get on his every last nerve. And guess what Christ didn't do? Christ didn't sin. Which means we have the ability to not give in to sin as well. We go through the valley of temptation. And then probably the most famous valley that we can all quote here and Psalm 23 and verse 4, but I want us to look at it more in context, is the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Note what the psalmist David says there in verse 4. Does he say, yea, though I walk around the valley of the shadow of death, and thou keepest me from getting in the middle of it? No, friends. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does David say? I will fear no evil. David says, when I look death in the face, maybe when loved ones around me are dying, or maybe I'm having health issues where I'm on the brink of death, hopeful to recover. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did he say? I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's what the shepherd does to his sheep. He sometimes has to take them through difficult stretches, but he's right there all along the way. And that's how Jesus Christ is for us. Friends, it's the same for us. We have valleys of trials, valleys of temptation, valley of the shadow of death, and yet God's there. We must pass through the valley to get to the other side. Friends, heaven is what's waiting on the other side. That should be our motivation to keep going. So how is heaven like the Grand Canyon? Very quickly, number one, it is grand. Number two, there is no cheap way to get across. Number three, sadly, many people just want to see the view. They have no desire to enter therein. Number four, the way of cross is narrow, and few go there. Number five, you must get to the water to get to the other side. Number six, if you hike the trail, food and water are required. And number seven, you must pass through the valley. Friends, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, I haven't yet, but I'd like to one day. Now, obviously, neither you nor I have made it to heaven yet because we're still here. But I tell you what, I want to one day. In fact, I could die a happy man if I never made it to the Grand Canyon, but if I make it to heaven. I hope you want to make it to heaven. If you don't, I want to ask you why. What is better than heaven? The answer is nothing. Friends, we might want to put on our to-do list to go to the Grand Canyon, but it must be on our to-do list to get to heaven. You think about it. Maybe this fall or next summer, your family, maybe you want to go on the Grand Canyon. So what are you going to do? You're going to make a plan. You're going to start saving a little money every paycheck and maybe doing some odd jobs or selling things on eBay, whatever the case may be. But you're going to try to save up, maybe get a little running money. And friends, you have to pack. Well, the same thing is true for our vacation in heaven. You must plan to go there. You need to save up by doing righteous things. You've got to pack. Friends, you have to be wearing the right garments. We learned that from the parable of the marriage feast that Jesus Christ gives us about Matthew 22. Friends, have you planned? Have you saved up? Have you packed? Are you ready to go to heaven this very moment? I don't know how much longer any of us have, you, me, or anybody else. But I know that when my time comes, I want to be ready to go to heaven. And if I'm not ready, friends, I better make it. Maybe you're dealing with some spiritual need. Maybe you need some prayer, some encouragement. Maybe you want to have a Bible study. Please send me a message. Leave a comment on this video. I'd love to get in touch with you. Or maybe you're not close enough. We could do that. I'd love to put somebody in touch with you. I know a lot of good people. I'd love to do a lot of good things like that. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, boy, I really wish I had a copy of those notes. Well, you're in luck. I put the link in the description, but I'll put it here as well. It's the justinreedshow.com/Bible resources. The easiest thing to do is just Google Justin Reed, R-E-E-D, Bible. I'm usually the first or second result, depending on how Google runs their analytics for the day. But regardless, just click on the one that says Bible Resources or the Justin Reed Show, and you'll find it. And if you'll go to the sermon section, there's a whole bunch of stuff, notes and VBS stuff. If you find the sermon section, my notes for here and all the other sermons I've done in these series are there as well. And I would love to make them available to you. One last thing, and then I will let you go, because you may be wanting to watch somebody that's going to start here in a minute. I don't want to hinder you from that. Friends, the next Bible study I have planned will be Wednesday night. It'll be our midweek Bible study. It'll be at 6:30. It's about 30, 35 minutes, so that gives you time to also pick up a 7 o'clock study if you just really want to, if you're watching it live. If you're not watching it live, it doesn't matter what time we start. We're going to talk about Peter's rooster. I love that lesson. That's the most important rooster in the whole wide world. So be thinking about that. Hope you can join us. And then also on Thursday night, I'll join my father-in-law, Bill Boyd, and we will continue our study, finish up the 12 points there in Matthew 16, 13 through 20, about upon this rock I will build my church. Once again, I have thoroughly enjoyed this privilege of being here live at 5 for you. I hope you will share this video, send it to somebody that maybe just ask them a question. Hey, do you know how heaven is like the Grand Canyon? And they say no. Then you send them the video and say, hey, let's watch this together. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. Make sure you're praying. Thank you for watching.